you know, you could engineer your own legacy. Amen. Are you with me this morning? It's not just something that happens organically. It's just who you are or who you're not. You could decide, and you know, I'm from an art background. You can design what kind of legacy you want to leave behind. You can choose what kind of legacy you want to leave behind. Doesn't matter even what kind of legacy was left to you. You can start a clean slate and you could decide this is the kind of legacy that I want to leave from here on out. And I think, you know, even whatever stage of life you're in, like, I don't know, is anybody else like this? I'll think about my grandparents sometimes, particularly my grandfather, who is my mom's dad, who is one of my role models. And I like to think about, well, what was he like when he was my age? Anybody else think like that? I look at pictures and I'm like, Mom, how old was he here? Okay, that's about my age. And I like to think, what was he doing? What was going on in his life? Because I want to think, well, you know, what was he, is a inspiration to me. And so you could leave a legacy of what it's like to be in your 20s, what it's like to be in your 30s. You could leave a legacy of how you get through the 40s and the 50s, right? Wherever you're at, you're leaving a legacy to the people that are going to follow you to where you are now. If you face a test and a trial, you're not going to be the last one to face that test and trial. And you're leaving a legacy to the people that are yet to face that test and trial. Amen. Some kind of something going on in your life, some attack of the enemy. How you face it is going to be a legacy to generations in the church and people that follow you. It's going to be a legacy. It's going to be an encouragement. It's going to be a pattern for people that follow you, because you know that this world, there's nothing new, bad or good. It's going to come around again, and there's somebody else that's going to face the trial that you're going through now, and you could leave them a legacy. So there's three basic things. I want to get to those three things. First is love. Everybody say love. Jesus left us a legacy of love. And there's one thing that we should all decide and we should make a decision. We're going to leave this. We're going to live this. It's going to be a pattern that we follow and something that we want to pass down to generations and natural sons and daughters, spiritual sons and daughters, fellow brothers and sisters, believers that follow us, generations that follow us, that if we leave any kind of legacy, we should leave a legacy of love. Amen? And I think you could sum up love pretty simply. Jesus did it, and doing unto others what you would have them do unto you. You know, not living for yourself, but living to be a blessing to somebody else. I have a phrase that I try to live by, and I always just, I repeat it a lot, and it's kind of corny sounding, I guess, but I always like to say, I'm going somewhere, coming to good news, going to a reunion, going to see people I haven't seen in a while, going to minister somewhere. I always try to have this phrase in my mind, I'm going to bless, not to impress. Amen. Because in our flesh, we just kind of want to impress people, don't we? Well, I'm going to show them how good I'm doing, or show them how I could preach, or whatever, you know? No, I always say, I'm going to bless and not impress. Amen. I mean, I endeavor to do it, and that's a plan. I know it sounds corny, but it works for me, you know? It just kind of sums it up. I just want to be a blessing. How many of you know we should look at life and not think about what we can get out of it, but what we can put into it and what we can do for others? Amen. Jesus was an example of this. He would have been far better off just for himself, just to stay in heaven and stay the heck away from the cross. Amen. Don't you think that his life would have been more comfortable not going through the whole being beaten kind of thing and nailed to some wood and being scourged? Not to mention all the humiliation and all the, you know, all the scorn and the crown of thorns and just the, you know, not even just the physical pain, but the rejection. The Bible says he was rejected of men, and he went through rejection and he went through the suffering. He would have been far better off as far as his own life was concerned. If he lived for himself, he could have stayed in heaven, stayed with God, and just forgot about all y'all, you know. And just went on in eternity with God. But he lived his life for others. That's a legacy that he left to the church. Don't you think we ought to live our life for somebody else? Amen. So love is basically, I think, a legacy that all of us can have. And you know, love is something that you have if you're a believer. The Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So amen, you've got it. All you've got to do is just make a choice to live it. Make a choice to celebrate it, you know. I know, you know, my family was all Marines, and I know we got a lot of military guys in here this morning, and I wasn't in the military, but there are some things that were, I just got passed down just because, you know, like, I love PT, man. I love it, because my grandfather, he was a Marine in the Pacific, Second World War. in his 70s. He's getting up at 05, man, and he's riding his exercise bike, lifting weights, getting on the rowing machine. That man loved PT, man, in his 70s. Never stopped, you know. He was lean and mean up until he left the earth, you know. And I just got that from him. He's up, man, the crack of dawn, you know, working that exercise bike. My dad, he was also in the Marines. He didn't love it as much, but he had this thing. He didn't love it as much as Grandpa, but he would go running like every once in a while in the summer in Levi's, man. he just would decide not to go with him, you know. And he just said, we're going to go take a run, man. Levi's, 95 degrees out, you know, going running, not walking, running. Boots and utes, man. So he'd go out there, man, and I'd run with him. He'd do cadences, you know, from his days back during the Vietnam War and call him out. And he's running, sweating, man, in jeans, you know. But I got some of that. It was something, you know, the Marine Corps, the Army, they didn't invent discipline. They didn't invent hard work, right? All right, Frank Ball might have some cases with that. But right now, he's looking at me like, don't say that. Watch your mouth, right? So, but no, right? I mean, they didn't invent discipline. They didn't invent these characteristics. It's just something they need to do their job, and they choose to celebrate it. They choose, right? They choose to make that something that they cherish, that they think this is important, something that they encourage, and something that they celebrate. Isn't that right? How many would agree with me? That's how you create a legacy. You just decide what's important and you celebrate it and you encourage it and you just learn to love it. Amen. You know, you just say, I love it. My grandfather, he loved PT until he left the earth, physical training. So same thing with love. Just celebrate it. Make it something that you celebrate in your family. It's important to who we are, isn't it? It's important to our job as the church. It's important to what God called us to do. So why don't we make that a thing that we just choose to be part of our legacy, choose to be part of our story. Amen? Second thing is faith. Is faith important to anybody here? Everybody say faith. Faith is important. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. The Bible says the just should live by faith. There's a lot of different ideas of what faith is. Some people in the world today, they just think of faith as, you know, faith is just kind of a belief system or the religion that you choose to follow. But faith, in its truest and purest sense, is simply believing what the Word of God says. Somebody say amen. And, you know, you just act like God really is who he says he is. And you act like what he said he really said. And you don't act like this thing is something separate from reality. But you act like this is real. You act like God is real. Amen. There is no greater legacy, man. I mean, after love, we started with love. But after love, because, you know, it's hard for me sometimes to divide things into categories like this. Because the things of the Bible are so intertwined. It's like, how do you love without faith? How do you have faith without love, right? They don't work one independent of each other. So how do you make a list? You know, it's all essential. But, you know, love is the most important. We know that because it keeps everything else straight. You know, it's how you use your faith and it keeps your doctrine good. But outside of that, next thing, man, you need faith. How can you, if you don't believe God is and you don't believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, you don't have much. Amen. And so much of living a life of faith and passing a legacy is you just face life, you face tests and trials, you face the things that come against you, and you just act like there really is a God. You act like he really hears prayers. You act like he really moves on your behalf. That's all faith is, man. You don't live like an atheist. You don't act like there is no God. You don't act like prayer doesn't work. You just face it, and you act like the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who parted the Red Sea, Jesus Christ, who walked the shores of Galilee and raised the dead and cleansed the leper, that he really is real. He really is alive today. Man, that's all faith is acting like God is who he says he is. And we need to leave a legacy of faith. Amen. Just a legacy of faith. Just not just give lip service that we say we believe there's a God, but act like there's a God. Conduct our lives like there really is a God. We were talking yesterday morning. We had a mentoring session. I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. But I just was teaching on prayer. And, you know, people don't spend time on prayer. I'll give you, you know, people who don't believe God is. If you don't believe God is, if you don't live like there's a God, one of the symptoms is you're not going to spend a lot of time praying. And I found this with people in the ministry. I mean, they don't, you know, they don't spend time praying because they don't believe it's going to make a difference. They think maybe their time is better spent planning. Maybe their time is better spent brainstorming. Maybe their time is better spent reading books about whatever situation they're facing and see how somebody else handled it. None of those things are bad. But, you know, I know people who spend almost no time on prayer because they don't believe it's going to work. They don't believe it's going to change anything. It's just, you know, you pray over your meal or whatever. Listen, you got to know that we serve a living God who hears and answers prayers. Amen? And it matters, man. Time spent, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. It availeth much. It makes much power available. It changes things. Praying is just acting like there's a God. If you have a problem and you go to prayer, that's acting like we have a God who answers, not just a philosophy who's off somewhere, but you are acting like, you know, I shared the story yesterday about the Gate Beautiful. And Peter and John, they're walking to church. They pass this man who's never walked in his whole life. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." Takes him by the right hand. Immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. He goes walking and leaping and praising God. The rulers of the synagogue are not happy. They should be, you know. They're not happy. They say, "Don't do it anymore." And then Peter says, "Well, what's better, to obey you or to obey God?" And he says, "I'm going to obey God." Amen. So he goes on, and then, you know, he goes back to his own company. They told him, "Don't preach anymore in the name." His life is in, you know, I mean, it's a dangerous situation. This isn't 2016 in America. This is, they're stoning people. They're nailing them to crosses just for burglary, man. I mean, it's a rough time, you know. Jesus went to the cross because he was the Messiah. But think about the other two guys. I don't know. What, did they steal some fish or a watermelon or something? They slapped them on a cross, man. They were just thieves. This is a rough time. You could get in some serious trouble in this day. Right? And Peter says, "So what, man?" He says, "What's better, to obey you or to obey God?" But how do they face this crisis? They go back to their own company. What do? Do they start packing? Do they start getting their things together, get ready to leave town? No. Do they go back and do they start brainstorming? Okay, what are we going to do? Do they go and buy, do they go and build a compound somewhere and start getting ready to physically defend themselves? You know, we better get some swords, y'all, because it's coming down, right? No. All right, what do they do? Ain't nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But listen, I'm telling you, we need to live like there's a God. Everybody say, "Live like there's a God." Amen. Because if you believe there's a God, he's better. He could do more for you than you could do for yourself. And if you believe that he really hears your prayers, then you believe you can bring him on the scene to the situation that you're in, whatever it is, whatever test and trial. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but here's my advice to you. Whatever it is, whether it be finances, whether it be health, whether it be a family situation, whatever is going on with you, here's my advice. Live like there really is a God. Live like there really was a Savior who died for your sins, who died for your sickness, who really did conquer death, hell, and the grave. Face your situation like that and let that be your legacy to the people that follow you. Amen. A legacy of faith. Leave a legacy. Amen. The third point is simply this. Third thing I think that was passed down to us that we need to pass down to somebody else is action. Love, faith, and action. Everybody say action. Think about the book of Acts. There it is. It's a book of action, you know. Action. It's not enough just to have love. It's not enough just to have faith. You've got to put it to work. You've got to put some action. I was kind of between the word give and action on the third point. Because, you know, give is really the way that the Christian puts action into anything. Whatever you do, you're giving. I shied away from it for a minute because usually if you say give in a service, everybody instantly thinks like work in the nursery and giving the offering, you know. But I wanted to get beyond that. Let's just say action. Amen. Everybody say action. Put it to action. Leave a legacy of action. Now, I talked about my grandfather who loved PT. That was a cool thing he left me. But, you know, more than that, man, he was a very devout Catholic. His brother-in-law, my great uncle, was a priest. Actually, the first church that I ever spoke in was a Roman Catholic church. I was about 8 years old. And my uncle, who was a priest, man, and he loved the Lord the best he knew how. He heard me. We were at the parsonage, you know, after a service, and I quoted some scriptures, or before, I guess it was, before a mass. And I quoted some scriptures that we were memorizing, you know, like in Royal Rangers and at my Assembly of God school. And he was so blown away. He said, that's amazing. And then he had me pray over our meal, and I prayed over the meal. And he said, wait. He goes and he gets his tape recorder, and he comes out and he presses record, and he says, pray again. And he has me pray over the meal. He's a priest, Roman Catholic priest. Then it's time for Mass. He has me come to the front and he says, quote those scriptures. And he has me quote the scriptures that we memorized. Amen. The guy loved the Lord the best he knew how. So that's my grandfather's brother-in-law, right? So my grandfather raised Roman Catholic, loved the Lord the best he knew how, and put it to action. Went to Mass 06, you know, always going to Mass early in the morning and on Sundays. And then, then he was known in the neighborhood. All the old ladies, if something went wrong with their furnace, they call him. In the middle of the night, they'd call him, my mom said. She remembered growing up. He's going to fix their furnace. Something wrong with their whatever. So anything mechanical. He was amazing. He was a millwright for Alcoa in Cleveland. So anything goes wrong mechanical, they call my grandfather. Middle of the night, man, 3 a.m. He's going to fix somebody's furnace. He's got work the next day. That's putting it into action. Amen? Putting it into action. But what's the greatest thing, man? You know, if you fix somebody's furnace and they go to hell, what's the greatest action that you can put to the gospel is to bring them a living, miracle-working Jesus. Amen? There's plenty of other things we should do, but the best way, and the one thing that always should be a part of the equation, is we tell them that there is a living, miracle-working Jesus. Amen? So how many of you want to leave a legacy of love, of faith, and of action? Putting it into action. And it's not, like I said, it's not like something that's just in your natural makeup. It's not just, you know, kind of something about who you are. It's a decision. It's something that you choose. It's something that you design. It's something that you use your authority to do. It's something that you use your words to shape. It's not something that just happens or doesn't happen. It's something that you make happen. Amen? You decide to walk in love. You decide to have faith, which, what's faith? Just acting like there really is a God, acting like Jesus really did die on the cross and raised from the dead, acting like all these things in our tenets of faith that are written down on list, acting like we believe them to the point where we actually act like it from day to day. Amen? And then just action. We just do it. We just do it. We have love for people. We have faith in God, but then we put it into action in our world. Has this helped anybody this morning? Hallelujah. Let's just thank God for it. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, Father. We thank you for our natural fathers, Lord. However good or bad they were, it is an incredible thing just to be alive and to have the opportunity to be your child, to have the opportunity to walk this earth and be part of your plan, however we got here, is an incredible privilege. And we thank you, Lord, that we're here for this hour and we're here for this time. We could have been anywhere. We could have been born anywhere. We could have been born at any time in history. But now we're alive for this great and glorious time, Father, where you're moving so mightily. And we thank you for that. Father, we ask you to bless our fathers today as we honor them on this day. And Lord, most of all, we thank you, our Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus and loving us. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, to you here and to those watching by live stream, I want to just pray for anybody here who needs healing in their body. Now, tonight is a miracle service. If you could make it tonight, we're going to take time. We're going to lay hands on the sick, going to do what we do. Praise God. Preach about Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we'll have miracles tonight because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Sickness and disease doesn't have a chance to stand against him. We've seen it here. Praise God. It's not something that we're sweating out. It's not something that we're keeping our fingers crossed and hoping. I'm just saying, just mark it down in your calendar. Jesus will be here tonight and he's going to help people. Somebody say amen. But this morning, if you're here and you absolutely can't make it, I just want to pray for you right in your seats. And I know there's people watching live stream, and we're going to pray for them as they're watching. They might be other places. I'll tell you some stories about what's been happening through our live stream in just a minute here. And I want to pray for them. So if you'd all stand to your feet if you're able, it's more comfortable for you to sit, please do so. But if you're able to stand to your feet, go ahead. Amen. If you need healing in your body, I'm just going to pray right now. Jesus is here. Thank God. We don't do this just to fill time in the service. In fact, most of the time, it'd probably be quicker and easier if we didn't do it. We do it because Jesus said, if you ask anything according to his God's will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have what we've asked. Jesus also said that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we're coming in his name, and we've done it before. We've asked in his name, and we've seen him do it before. And he's always the same. And he's here to do it today. He's here to do it this morning. How many, just as you're standing, how many have ever been healed by the power of God? Raise your hand and hold it high so we can see it. Look around. Amen. What a testimony. What a testimony. Jesus is alive, heals people many ways, many places. He's the same. But he's here to do it now. I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to command in Jesus' name, just like the Bible pattern. Command sickness and disease to go. Command bodies to be healed. And then you just expect God will meet you where you're at, and then thank him for it after we're done. Father, in the name of the same people watching by streaming, just wherever you're at, just hallelujah, just expect God to meet you there. I've seen it before. He'll do it this morning. In Jesus' name, we just command healing to people here in this room and to people watching through the internet. We command healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. Legs be whole. I'm thinking about a right leg right now. Knees be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We command sickness and disease of every kind to go. Backs, hallelujah. Eyes see, hallelujah. Ears hear. We command bodies to be healed. Hallelujah. Digestion problems. Problems, things going on inside the stomach. Sickness, disease, go. Bodies be healed in the name of Jesus. Not in my name, not in the name of any church, but in the name of Jesus. Be healed and be whole in Jesus' name. Let's all thank him for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Praise God. If you were healed this morning, either watching, please send us an email. Or if you were healed in the service, come tell us after the service. Tells us what God did for you. If you could make it tonight and you need a miracle in your body, just take the afternoon. Take some time. Even if you have plans or something, if you could just get off by yourself for a couple minutes or just through the day as you're thinking about it. And just begin to set yourself in position to receive tonight. You know, the Bible says those who came to Jesus, as it said, they came to hear and be healed. They came to be healed. If you need healing, come to be healed tonight. Amen? Follow the pattern of those who've received it, be the legacy, you know, left by those before us. Come to be healed. They came to hear, they came to be healed. They didn't come because, well, let's see what happens. They didn't come and say, I hope something happens. Bible says they came to hear and be healed. Come to receive whatever it is that you need from the Lord tonight. Come with expectation is how we say it. But if you're here this morning and you've never called on the name of Jesus or you're watching by internet, I want you to know the family of God is not a family that you're just automatically a part of. You're not born into it naturally. The family of God is the one family that if you're a part of it, it's because you chose to be. At some point in time, you said, I choose Jesus. He's already chose you. But the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And God has given us freedom to choose. I mean, isn't that really the characteristic of even a godly country, that the people within that country had the ability to choose? America's a godly country in its pattern simply because, the founding fathers said, we want to give people the right to choose. Not we're going to make this a Christian nation where we put guns to people's heads or put them in jail if they're not, but a place where people have the choice to choose Jesus. Because that's how God set it up. Amen? So if you're here this morning and you can't look to a time in your life where you say, yeah, I remember, I asked Jesus, I gave my life to him. I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I asked him to forgive me of my sins. If you can't look to a time where you say, yes, I made a decision for Jesus, or you just don't know and you're not sure, I'd like to pray with you this morning. Is that anybody in this place? Raise your hand. You say, I'm just not sure, Jeremy. I don't know if I'm a Christian or not. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I don't know if I've ever made a decision and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Anybody just hold it up so I could see it. I'd like to pray with you. Anybody in this place? If you're watching on the internet, we're going to pray with you in just a moment. All right, well, we're going to pray a prayer together. Everybody in this place. It's what we call the sinner's prayer, but it's simply based on what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. You'll be made a new creature. In other words, God will make you part of his family. You'll be accepted of him. And hallelujah, if you died tonight or 100 years from now, you'd go to heaven and be with Jesus. Can we all pray? Those of you, if you're watching online, Just repeat after me. Don't pray to the people around you. Don't even think about the people around you. Just pray out to the Lord. He'll hear you this morning. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again from the dead. I believe you're alive this morning. Take my life. Make it everything you want it to be. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. I accept you, Jesus, and you accept me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you said that for the first time, you know, becoming a Christian is not a process. It is something that happens in a moment. Amen? You call on Jesus' name, and the Bible says we're made a new creature. Now, discipleship and sanctification and learning about God and having your mind renewed to what He's like and learning more about Him, that's a process. But in a moment, He makes you His child and forgives you of your sins. Amen? If you prayed it for the first time, welcome to the family of God.